It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Richard Hake. Many pregnant women who suffer complications during childbirth in New York do so needlessly. The problems they encounter often come from poor hospital care and could have been avoided. Some places are much worse than others. We heard yesterday about hospitals in central Brooklyn with sky-high complication rates. In our series, What Hospitals Deliver, WNYC's Fred Mogul embedded at one Brooklyn maternity ward and sees it manages to buck the trend.
Hi, Romila.
Hello.
Dr. Joseph Nabaya has come to check in with her patient, Rumila Gandal, on the maternity ward at Maimonides Medical Center.
Thank
you. Gandal's in lively spirits. It's a Friday, and she's hoping to be discharged soon. On Monday, though, when she delivered her son, things were very touch and go.
Emergency cobularete.
After Gandal's water broke, she dilated quickly and pushed for a few hours. But something seemed wrong.
Yeah, lot of pain, belly pain, but pushing.
For her first child, Gandal had a C-section. That means cutting open the uterus, delivering the baby, and sewing the uterus back up. There's always a small chance the scar tissue won't hold up the next time. Gandal and her doctors thought the risk was low enough that she could attempt what's called a trial of labor. But
at some point, with all these contractions, it was too much and the scar gave way.
So much so that the baby's arm was sticking out of the uterus into the abdominal cavity. Baya could feel it under the skin.
I almost expected the baby to come out dead.
Spoiler alert, the baby was fine. But Gondal's life hung in the balance. More on that in a minute. What brought me to the maternity ward here was the chance to see how a safety-oriented hospital prevents childbirth complications like this one from becoming deadly. Maimonides is in central Brooklyn, where other hospitals struggle to handle pregnant mothers and their chronic health problems, obesity, hypertension, asthma. These increase the risk of complications. Now, compared to neighboring hospitals, Maimonides does have some advantages, and we'll get to them. But it's not exactly a slick, high-tech hospital. The facilities are plain, and more than three-quarters of the OB patients are on Medicaid. What makes Maimonides different is it approaches safety more aggressively than many others.
This is not a test, so immerse yourself into the scenario.
Several weeks ago, they let me watch an emergency drill in the OB department's simulation lab.
Doctor, patient's like just delivered and just started bleeding. I don't know what to do. Today's my first day.
A medical resident calls for Dr. Allison David. She's a pretty new member of the staff at Maimonides.
How much blood is here? Like,
hi, I'm Dr. David. How are you?
The mom is the simulation director. She's sitting on the hospital bed. She's dressed. But from the waist down, she's actually a rubber dummy.
I don't feel well. Something's not right.
Dr. David begins examining the patient.
Any medical problems at all?
She looks for lacerations or tears, doesn't find any.
Okay, so let me have an EKG. Can we call some help, please?
Things escalate quickly. Fake blood pours out of the dummy onto the pads on the floor.
Doctor, I don't understand.
And while none of them should probably quit their day jobs for an acting career,
okay, just please take care of her, okay?
There's still plenty of adrenaline.
You know what? This is fourth baby, correct?
Yeah.
We're going to actually take this uterus out. You're bleeding entirely too much.
Dr. David pretends to move the patient into an operating room.
Anesthesiologist
here.
They prep the patient for surgery and...
All right. We're calling it.
Okay.
That's it.
Scene?
Mm-hmm. Cut.
Cut.
And it's time for the mom, Dr. Nellie Fisher, and the dad, Dr. Fuad Atallah, to break character and review what just happened. They start by asking Dr. David to evaluate herself.
So... All right, let's...
How did you do? I think I may have jumped the gun, but I feel like you were bleeding entirely too much and your blood pressure was dropping and you had the fourth baby. I was like, forget this. This is no way I'm going to just keep letting her bleed and get lightheaded on me.
How much bleeding? The quantity is everything. But in the heat of the moment, it's tough to estimate. Dr. David guesses about 2 liters.
You're very close. So it's approximately 2 liters, 600. So yeah, good estimation.
Fisher supports Dr. David's quickly moving to surgery, but she says she could have gotten there a little more smoothly if she'd declared code H for hemorrhage.
Why code H? Because that tells exactly who needs to come without me necessarily having to ask for specific people.
Another crucial part of the safety culture is reviewing incidents and complications like these with fellow OBs.
What did we do well for this patient? Mm-hmm. What could we improve next time?
The debriefing goes on for almost an hour. Dr. David says drilling like this is one of the reasons she came to Maimonides.
Not just the residents are being taught, but the attendings are still being taught. I thought that was important for me to continue.
Now, many hospitals do simulation exercises, especially academic ones. But Maimonides goes out of its way to train the labor and delivery staff constantly, whether it's practicing for emergencies or getting people to speak up about day-to-day problems by having senior doctors intentionally make big mistakes during demonstrations to see if anyone notices.
Simulation is very, very important because you're going to get a different nurse with a different provider, with a different resident every time because shifts that change.
Maimonides' childbirth complication rates are low, partly because they deliver so many babies, about 8,500 a year, by far the most in the state. And with all those births, they can justify round-the-clock medical specialists and technology like the simulation lab. But Atala says even hospitals without those resources can do much to emulate Maimonides' safety culture. Step one, drop the blame game.
Creating an environment of safety where people can come forth without fear of retribution.
Step two, institute more cross-monitoring.
You did this well, you didn't do this well, so we can improve each other better.
And step three, focus on awareness and communication.
What's going on? Sometimes the anesthesiologist doesn't speak to the attending. The patient might be decompensating and the attending doesn't know.
When Rumila Gondal, the patient we started the story with, began rupturing, Dr. Jyothna Baya, the attending, quickly told her crew what she needed. She transferred Gondal to an OR and delivered her son within minutes. So the baby was okay, but Gondal was losing a lot of blood. Her uterus wouldn't contract.
That's the natural mechanism of controlling the blood loss after a childbirth, but her uterus is like a very floppy, floppy bag. It's usually firm. It starts.
Baya called out a code H. Her colleagues' pagers went off. Staff came running, connected more IV lines, got blood from the blood bank. They were ready for an operation, but then
she responded to the medications, and the uterus slowly formed up, and then we sutured the uterus.
Instead of removing it with a hysterectomy, which seemed like the way things were going. Complication averted. A few hours later, Gondal woke up with a healthy baby son and a fully intact body. For Dr. Baya, though, the night was young. There were two other emergencies on the floor. For WNYC, I'm Fred Mogul.
Our report is produced with support from the Center for Health Journalism at the USC Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism.